Well, I will apologize in advance because I will not be done at 11:30. So hopefully I ate enough breakfast to make it through. Good morning, everyone. It is usually I don't like gloomy, rainy days, but I'll take today. It's been dry. We need the rain. All right, I'm going to start off with a small quiz. And you can answer to yourself or you can answer out loud. I'm not that easily distracted, so don't make me any difference. Before everything falls off of here and I get started, do you believe in God? Do you believe that God created the world? Do you believe God created the universe? Do you believe God created man in his own image? Do you believe God brought Moses and the Israelites through the Red Sea, parted it, and they walked through on dry land? Do you believe God gave his only son to die for your sins? Do you believe Jesus is a true and only Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus' blood washes away all sins? Do you believe that your faith is strong enough? Do you believe that a home with God is possible? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? And do you believe that now that I've got your attention, my talk is about faith? In Mark 11, 22, verses through 26, it simply states here, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." It seems like such a simple statement, but it really isn't. Because many of us have our faith shaken, and it's really not a bad thing to question your faith. Because in order to gain anything, we have to exercise something, and when trials come along, we have to exercise our faith. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, there are some conditions that go with this as we go on into the 25th and 26th verses. And I know that this is something that I personally have. I know it's something that you have. Because what hinders our prayers more than anything? What actually hinders our faith at times? It is these individual things that we have, because here in verse 25, he says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive." It's one of the hardest things for a human to do. I know we all think, well, I forgive you, and we go on. Is that really it? But it says, "For if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." I have to read that again because that didn't sound right. "And when you stand praying, forgive, for if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Then in 26 it says, "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And this can slow us down as far as our faith is concerned. But remember, I ask you the question, you believe all things are possible with God? Everyone said yes. There was a couple of questions I heard a couple of people answer. And then in Mark 10 and 27 says, "Jesus looking upon them said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Do you have the faith that can move mountains? Is it figurative? Is it literal? But is your faith strong enough that when you ask God and you are in the right heart, remember, forgiving, that means there can't be any little thing here that's between you and your brothers and sisters and mankind. It's pretty hard to do. Because, you know, there's a lot of people in this world. Most of you don't know me very well. But there's people in this world I just don't like. And that happens to all of us. You know, you meet people, you like some, you don't like others. God says we have to love every person. Because sometimes we try to read the outside. We don't really see the inside. You know, an old song once said, I can see by love in my brother's heart by the look in his eyes. Well, no, you can't. You have no idea what's in the heart of another individual. I cannot tell you whether you have great faith in God just because of the words or actions sometimes you do, because you are the only one that knows how strong your faith is. Because we can put on a pretty good show and we can make a lot of gestures as far as giving and doing things for others, because sometimes people would rather have a pat on the back than actually do what is right in the sight of God and do it for the right reasons. One of the things that comes to mind when we look at this and looking at faith, it takes a lot of humility. And most of us have a problem with being humble, because in order to go to God, we are to humble ourselves before Him. And that don't always mean that you're going to fall prostrate upon the floor or whatever, but it means to humble oneself means to make oneself vulnerable to God, to be able to accept God, and to accept our own shortcomings. Because to have a strong faith in God means that we realize that we are human, that we do have failings, that even though I think I am perfect, I am not. Because all of you can see my flaws, the ones that I tend to overlook. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You'll hear that again as we go through this lesson. But it's very important that we know that, because our faith in God does not come by the television. It does not come by radio or social media. And in the world today, God has been completely written out of our lives. If you'll take and look around, what I knew as a child, even though I wasn't someone that grew up in a church-going family, my dad's idea of going to church was when they served breakfast on Easter Sunday or whatever, when they had the sunrise breakfast. So that's kind of the religion that I had in my background. So the way that we hear from God's word can either be someone preaching it to you. You can read it. You can ask God to give you understanding. And importantly, you have to ask for wisdom. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is nothing that you can touch. You can't hold it in your hand, but you can feel it in your heart. And I'm not going to tell you that your heart is always right, because, you know, when people say that they're a young man or whatever, a woman that is in love, and some people think that your heart is here in your chest, but when you think about it, it has to be in your mind, because in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he talks about both the heart and the mind, because he tells you that he shall give them a better way. And he shall write them in their minds and in their hearts. Because if someone is in love, sometimes we say they lose their mind. But here we are, it's like you can feel it in your heart, and as a farmer plants crops in the spring, and we can run this opposite of, or synonymous with belief, I guess you could say, because when the farmer plants his crops, he hopes that what he plants, he will reap a harvest. So as he's going through this and he hopes that he'll get something, he has faith that everything will go as he plans and the labors, he will be rewarded by this good harvest. Everyone, even though they are agnostic or whatever, believes in something. If you ask someone if the sun is going to come up tomorrow, unless they are a really bitter person, they will most likely say yes. So they have faith that the sun will rise again. But why do we have faith in God? As a small child, I believed that there was something more, even without knowing what exactly it was. There had to be something there more than what I would just... Because, you know, the Earth is 93 million miles from the sun. It rotates on its axis. It goes around this star once every 365 days. It rotates. And then it shifts on its axis. We have summer, fall, winter, and spring. So someone put that in place, because we have to remember, with God, all things are order. Satan likes chaos. So that's where we get Big Bang Theory. We get all these different theories because people would rather believe fairy tales. Why do we have faith in God? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We have to let our faith grow. We have to get all of the things that waste our time. The things of man waste our time. So in Galatians 6, 5 and 9 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 2 Timothy 2 and 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And that's very important. This word of God that we get needs to be shared. We need to give it to others so they can have this faith also. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We all have an obligation that goes with our membership as a member of God's church, Christ's church. And we are all farmers. I know that is far from some of you, but I do know some of you come from farming communities that's becoming more lost than what you think. But when a farmer, you just didn't throw your seed in the air and hope something will come up. You don't plant wheat and hope corn grows. So you have a plan when you go in. In 2 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit." Here's an example in my own life is, you know, this year I didn't know whether I'd have anything. I have peach trees, I have apple trees, and I have apricot trees. The apricots are gone. They turned out better than what I thought they would. They were actually looked like the ones you get at the store. They were about that big this year. Normally they're about that big, but there wasn't very many of them. I got a tree that with peaches on it, and it's the white ones, and they are almost bowing to the ground. Apple trees are the same way. It's almost as thick as grapes. And, you know, I like peaches, but I especially like the white ones because for some reason they're a little sweeter and a little bit. That's where it's talking about being the first partakers of the fruits. Here, of course, the husbandman is a guy who takes care of the vines, and they're the ones that tries the grapes to make sure that they're not bitter. A lot of the taste of everything depends on what's in the soil. So if you get something that doesn't taste quite exactly like what you think it should taste like, it's because of what's in the soil, what has been absorbed by that plant. That comes back to us because what we absorb is what we produce. If you absorb corruption, corruption is what you're going to put out. If you absorb good, good is what's going to come out. Because you can't keep putting trash in and just hope that something better is going to come out. So we have to put God's word in us. We have to understand it. We have to live it. It has to saturate us. And it has to be, like it says, written on your minds. Now, I have dyslexia. And one of the reasons I use the old King James is these words appear on the page pretty much like they should. Now, if I use some of the other versions, the newer versions, those words don't appear right. And I also have a pretty good way of memory for a memory, almost photographic memory for especially biblical scriptures, which helps me a lot when it says study. Well, I don't have to do that as much as some. But all of us are here working. And, you know, one of the things that always bothers me when I read the Garden of Eden, when I'm someone that does fool with plants and all that kind of stuff, is I would have loved to have had a place that did not have weeds. I would have loved to have had something that did not have thorns. And I would have loved to have had something that didn't have irritating insects every time I'm out there trying to pick something. And, you know, Adam and Eve, they were not close, and they were taken care of. I don't know how long they were there. This is kind of a side note, but I don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden. We're not given a time lapse. But they were there long enough to know what they were supposed to do. So they didn't just show up one day and sin the next and kicked out. So we have to realize that, too. So that would have been great. But as in all things, man was given free will. Free will can make us choose rightly or wrongly. I guess not using the correct grammar. But it can make us choose the wrong path. And hopefully when we come together or even when we're apart, we are trying to keep each other on the right path. I don't know how many of you speak to your brother or sister if they're doing wrong and you can do it in the right way that you can bring them back to the Lord. That is a blessing. We have to realize all of us have different talents. You see, I'm a better teacher than I am a speaker. Far better. To me, speaking is like, I don't even think I'm any good at it at all. So what you're hearing, some guy up here rambling as far as I'm concerned. But in James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Remember, in a twinkling of the eye, in a shout, the sound of the trump, Jesus could return. It could be while we are on this earth or far after we're gone, because we have no knowledge of when that shall happen. But the one thing that always has, if we have strong enough faith, we're going to have on our armor, we're going to be ready when that happens. We're going to be ready for that last day, whether it's our last breath or Jesus comes again. And that's what we're preparing for. And every day is a fight. As Romans 10:15 once again says, "So faith comes by hearing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And we have to be where our faith is not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. It's kind of like the little nursery rhyme where you put the 1 foot in, you put the 1 foot out. I don't know all of it, and something about shaking all about and all that good stuff. But if you are a person that is in the Lord, you're in. If you're a person that's out, you're out. You can't be here and here. No man can serve two masters. He has to serve the one when he will hate the other. So you have to realize where your priorities are. And if we have a problem with this being that we just can't get it straight in our mind, did you know that, you know, if we get humble ourselves before God and ask him, like in James 5 through 8, we can ask God for wisdom. Where else would you go for it? I can't go to you and ask you to give me wisdom, but I can go to God and he can give me wisdom. Because it says here, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Once again, we have to have it established. We have to be on firm ground in order for this to work. Nothing wavering. We have to believe that God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, the one who shall answer your prayers, and that he is there for us the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." We have to make up our mind if we are going to be for the Lord or we're going to be in the world. We cannot have ourselves in both places at once. Let us plant our feet upon firm ground and not upon the changing sands of the world. Let us have the good foundation for our faith to sit upon. And that, of course, is upon Jesus Christ, the true and only Son of God, who gave his life that we have the hope of eternal life and that our sins can be forgiven. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. We have to realize, where are we? What are we going to do? We have made a decision, if we are here and are in the Lord, that we are going to follow Him. So do it. Follow. Let Jesus lead us. Let Him lead us home. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 11. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Talk briefly about, if you're someone that has great faith in God, how many talents do you have that you use? All of them come from God. I did glance at the clock, so I won't keep you much longer. We are close. But how many talents do you have that you use? Have you ever stopped to think? A lot of people will sit there and think maybe they don't have any talent. I know I'm not going to lead your singing because that is not a talent that I have. I am completely tone deaf, and all those little squiggly lines on the page mean absolutely nothing to me. So that is not one of the talents that I have. But, you know, I'm going to talk briefly about this in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. But this is where, of course, the kingdom of heaven's like the man that was traveling to the far country, you know, and he called his servants. He gives the one five, one two, and one one. Well, the guy with the five talents, you know, this is a pretty talented guy. He used them all, and he got five more. The one with two, he used them to the best of his ability, and he got two more. The one with one, what's he do? Doesn't use it at all. He just sits on it. It's kind of like the candlestick that you put the bushel over. Goes nowhere. Nobody can see it, and it's shut off. So what does he say to him? His Lord answered in verse 26, and he said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put the money in the exchanger, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you read this in Matthew, you would see outer darkness, which means you couldn't see your hand like this. So, I've been in places dark, but I don't think I've been in anything as described that's as black as that. In our faith, Jesus is a cornerstone on which we build our faith. Each of us is a brick in that building. With our talents, we have to figure out where we fit. Some people are better one-on-one. Some people are better in public. Some people are better singing, doing some of the physical work around a building. But all of us have talents. All of us need to put them to use. And as I bring this talk to a conclusion here, I will leave you with Revelations 21 and 1, starting with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears and their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where do you want to be upon judgment day is kind of the way a person should look at it. Do you want to be with those that are going to be singing and rejoicing because of they have won the victory? They are going to spend eternity, which is a very long time. See, we don't even have words that can actually describe eternity in our vocabulary because eternity has no end. Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, meaning the beginning and the end, meaning that this we have here shall end. So as we offer the invitation, we ask anyone that has anything to bring before the congregation, become a member, whatever you have that you have need of, come as we stand and as we sing.